DW.
At a dusty brickworks on the outskirts of Kabul, Cameron piles bricks beneath the scorching sun. He's only 10, but he has to work to help his family survive.
When my father stopped making enough money, I had to drop out of school. And since then, I've been working here at the brickworks with my father.
Cameron has 6 siblings and shares the house with a few cousins too. They moved in when their father died. Without help from the children, there's no way they'd cope, says Cameron's dad, Atikula.
The children get up in the morning and come to work straight after prayers. There's no time for school. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to survive. One sack of wheat flour cost 1,450 Afghanis, about $18. If we couldn't all do our bit, we wouldn't be able to earn so much.
According to the most recent survey by US research institute Gallup, a large number of Afghans live in poverty and misery. 85% of respondents said that they were suffering in their current living situation, the highest result since studies began in 2001. The main reason for that is the worsening security situation, the political instability, and signs that international support is waning. A partial withdrawal of troops from Afghanistan was recently announced by US President Donald Trump. But when and if that will actually go ahead is not yet clear, given the collapse of peace talks with the Taliban. Working in a brickyard in Afghanistan, a family of 10 can earn 12 to 18 US dollars per day. 65-year-old Jan Aga says he has no hope that his circumstances will ever get better. His 4 sons already help him in the brick factory. And at some point, his grandchildren will have to join in as well. For now, they're still too small.
We think about our future constantly. How long will we be able to cope with our money problems? When will we be able to finally live a normal life in freedom? Right now, we live like slaves.
War and terror aren't the only reasons that Afghans are struggling to make a living. In the last 2 years, a major drought has destroyed crops across much of the country. The UN says that the drought has turned hundreds of thousands of people into refugees, particularly in the provinces of Herat, Badghis and Gore. UNICEF spokeswoman Alison Parker told a press conference that some parents were so desperate that they sold their children or married them off in exchange for money.
Over the last 4 months, among the IDPs, the internally displaced persons within Herat and Badghis, we've seen 161 children between the ages of 1 month to 16 years either being betrothed, married, or in court, sold because their parents are in debt.
Some farmers have switched to growing opium in recent years out of sheer necessity, says Mohammed Ahmadi. And that's how he makes ends meet. The 20-year-old is a farmer in the Panjwai district in the southern province of Kandahar.
No one likes to do that. I actually wanted to keep up with my education, but the economic situation forced me to do this work. The government always says we shouldn't grow opium, but it doesn't offer us any alternatives. The opium harvest lasts about 18 or 19 days. Over that time, I can work in the fields and get enough money to support my family.
The south of Kandahar province isn't directly controlled by the Taliban, but it is considered a disputed area. There are frequent battles here between militants and Afghan forces. According to a report by the US Agency for Afghanistan Reconstruction, which is known as SIGAR, the Taliban have been gaining ground over the past 2 years, seizing territory in more and more provinces. One reason for that appears to be the size of the Afghan army, which is actually much smaller than previously thought. The Cigar Report found that in the second quarter of this year alone, the number of soldiers in the military was 10% lower than in the same period last year. That's a difference of around 42,000 soldiers. The report put the drop down to more accurate counting methods and efforts to remove so-called ghost or non-existent soldiers from the list. Thomas Rutig of the Afghanistan Analysts Network says that these kind of ghost entities don't just exist in the army and the police. They're actually a widespread form of corruption.
It works in such a way that soldiers are registered by name on a pay list of certain units and then are reported upwards, even though they don't exist at all. When all the salaries are paid, the superiors embezzle the money. And this scheme is only made easier by the high turnover. So sometimes people were on the pay list a short time ago, but their resignation isn't reported. There are many opportunities for manipulation.
The Afghan Defense Ministry has rejected the Cigar Report's claims about ghost soldiers. But speaking recently on Afghan television, former Afghan Deputy Interior Minister Mirza Mohammad Yarmand acknowledged that it was a well-known problem.
The Department of Defense officially says there's no such thing. But that's not entirely true. Sometimes a soldier is on vacation and his family begs him not to go back to the front. In that case, his pay will continue to be transferred until the unit officially removes him from the list.
In many provinces, the Taliban are on the rise. Talks with the US aimed at bringing an end to the war have been going on for more than a year. And at the same time, the Taliban have brought more districts under their control. According to the Afghan Analysts Network, the Afghan army often has far fewer soldiers at control posts and combat units than the army leadership thinks it does. In the event of a withdrawal or partial withdrawal of US forces from Afghanistan, the Afghan army would be left entirely on its own. Colonel B says the German armed forces have had limited success trying to address the problem of corruption and ghost soldiers.
We've been trying for years to introduce an electronic payment system. This could put a stop to corruption. The soldier would then no longer receive their money in cash from a superior, but would have it transferred to an account. In the past, sometimes soldiers didn't get any money for months, which would lead to some people going AWOL or absent without leave and just disappearing.
It's unclear just how many Afghan soldiers die in conflicts with the Taliban or other insurgent groups, such as the so-called Islamic State. 2 years ago, the Ministry of Defense in Kabul stopped publishing the figures of fallen soldiers. Right now, the future doesn't look bright for the people of Afghanistan. Streets in Kabul are not safe. In recent weeks, there have been numerous attacks on checkpoints and government facilities. It's especially bad for children. Decades of war have destroyed the lives of entire generations. Every day, 12-year-old Zabihullah Mujahid sits at a junction in the road working as a shoe shiner. On a good day, he can earn 100 Afghanis. That's equivalent to just over €1.
My father was killed, and now I have to work here. If I don't make money, my mother and siblings have nothing to eat.
The Afghan boy doesn't know anything but war. He longs for peace, and he hopes that the Taliban and the government will come to an agreement and stop fighting.
I hate the Taliban. But I also want us to have peace and stability in Afghanistan. The killing of children and constant attacks must stop.
According to the United Nations, last year had the highest number of civilian casualties in Afghanistan since the beginning of US and NATO military intervention 18 years ago. Richard Bennett from the UNAMA support mission said that children are the main victims.
3,804 civilians were killed in 2018. Among them, the highest ever recorded number of children were killed, almost 1,000 boys and girls lost their lives due to the armed conflict in 2018.
Sometimes there are small moments of hope and distraction in an otherwise bleak environment. Like when the library bus arrives, sent by an aid organisation called Sharmags. In the bookshelves that line the old green bus, young ones find fairy tales and stories of adventure. Here they can escape to a different world. 11-year-old Farzad and two 12-year-old girls, Susan and Azra, can find peace in these moments.
When I read stories here, I imagine I am in another world.
I feel so good when I read books. I love these stories.
We're happy if we can read books. You can learn so much.
Education is of utmost importance for the young generation, says Freshta Karim, who started the Book Bus Project. It's especially important for girls. During the Taliban regime, girls weren't allowed to go to school. Should the Taliban return to power, that could happen again.
I think it makes me extremely excited when I see them so curious, asking so many questions, being excited with little things and having the capacity, the openness to learn. Right now we have 2 mobile libraries and 1 mobile cinema, and it's providing services in different parts of Kabul. We are committed to continue this work, but really gradually starting from Kabul and going to provinces.
Afghanistan has one of the lowest education rates in the world. According to UNESCO, only 3 in 10 Afghans over the age of 15 can read and write. And every 4th child must help their parents by going to work instead of going to school. If peace should ever return to Afghanistan, as so many Afghans desperately hope it does, the economic situation may finally improve, and with it, the lives of the Afghan people.
DW.